Yeah, I'm looking at that right now, and he's got pictures of the behind the theater of the alleged Aurora shooting, and then he's got a shot of the blood tracks behind. You know, we've all seen that, the blood tracks behind the theater.
Yeah.
And they said, they accidentally put them in the wrong direction, so they're like going towards the back instead of the.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I think it was Stephanie that posted that in that group originally, the picture of the blood tracks going the wrong way, and I wasn't really too sure about it when I first seen it, so I didn't really beat on it too much. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, what they did is they had someone go by with you know, like a paintbrush or whatever, going little flicks, flicking here, flicking there, and they actually they flicked them. They were walking. Instead of walking out of the place like they should have been, they did it from the parking lot to the door instead of, you know, from the exit door to the parking lot. And that's what they screwed up, you know, and that's the whole problem here is that they went, and you could tell they were trying to stay away from it so as to not get their footprints in it. Well, the footprint would actually made it look real. Not only that, but the fact that we've seen no footage whatsoever. And this is the day of the camera phone. Somebody, you know, would have gotten some type of the app, you know, just the fact that they've given us nothing to look at, you know. So a lot of these cases, they even give you, you know, something they say was the, you know, the aftermath of the scene. We haven't even seen, you know, circles around shell casings or anything like that.
Dude, are you telling me a movie theater that obviously cost millions of dollars to build, they don't even have a couple thousand dollar security system with cameras? Like, there's no security camera footage of any of them?
No, they had tons of security footage. They're saying that they're not giving it up. But the fact of the matter remains that there was one near that exit door. There's one as soon as you walk in. There's another. You know, the place was filled with them, and it was part of a mall too. You know, so I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's just. You know, the only thing that we've seen is on the mainstream, you know, on the news. That's it. That's all they've shown us is, you know, what Fox and CNN showed or whatever.
Unbelievable. And the fake witnesses they have. And how about besides the Puerto Rican guy I was talking about, they have this white woman with this like almost like a butch haircut, and she talks about how the shooter was right next to her. And he shot so close to her, the bullets actually grazed her forehead. Not grazed, she actually said singed. They singed her forehead. Now, you're watching the interview, and you can see her whole forehead, because her hair is like my hair. Like, it's like spiked up, and she doesn't even have a red mark on her. This is like the next day, dude. And she says the bullets have singed her forehead. It's unbelievable. You know, I'll drop the link later for that one to people to watch during a music break, because you really got to see it to laugh at it. But the Puerto Rican guy one, where he just starts telling you how great and pumped up he was for the Batman movie, then he starts faking like he's crying and he holds up his ticket. We'll definitely play that one soon for everybody over the show. That's a good one. And then I don't know. I was hoping to after we get into this, maybe get into a little of the basics of some of the COINTELPRO stuff for some of the newer people in the group, you know?
Well, I also wanted to get in a little rant on the Ron Paul situation as well, so...
Go ahead. Why don't you get started on that, though?
All right. Yeah, actually, I will. All right, to tell you the truth, the whole thing about Ron Paul, and I'll tell you exactly why he chose to run Republican, and I'll tell you... You know, the whole story behind this that I believe is...
Let me just say one thing. Justin has been saying this and calling this since day one, along with Chris and a few other people. You know, go ahead. I mean, you guys have known this guy's a fraud since day one.
Oh, totally. Now, at one point, I did think they were going to make him president. I admitted a couple weeks back I was wrong about that. However, here's the deal. The gold standard thing, global gold standard, is still going to be... implemented. It just right now they have the Rothschilds have Soros holding all the gold, and on the other side we have Paul Ryan, who is also going. You know, he's another one that favors the gold standard.
That's so that the guy was his, going for vice president.
Exactly. So you know they've cornered the market as far as that goes. So that either way it goes down. That's going to end up going through. Now we know we've been through the perils of the gold standard and whatnot, and what's going to happen, and the fact that it's going to most likely be a global one after the EU, the Euro crash or whatever. The whole thing about this though is they ran Ron Paul in the Republican Party, knowing damn well that he would not be respected or whatever, and that the people wouldn't. Really even give him a chance, regardless of the fact that he's a fraud. The fact that if they ran him libertarian, or independent, you could probably, for one, he'd still be in the race and on the ballot in all 50 states. Now, we know that elections are a fraud, too, but, it would be a lot harder to cheat him out of it if this guy was there and this many people were saying they actually... went out and voted for it. We know that they don't care about doing that, but and then the other thing is, now he took off the he took off, in other words, so if anyone did want to run independent, for a while, he pretty much split it up so that everybody was just thinking Ron Paul this, Ron Paul that. In the end, what happened, he ended up, he didn't drop out like 2008 and end up taking home everyone's money, but you know what? They still got your money. Jesse Benton, Bruce Fein, Peter Thiel, they made a shit ton of money on this, and Ron Paul did too. And, and he's going to be a well compensated, I'm sure. The whole thing of this, though, it just really... I'm glad for one that I don't have to see Ron Paul shit on my feed constantly every day anymore. But the whole fact of this is, when it comes down to it, if you're not addressing the real money power, then you're of no use to us. And that's the whole thing here. When it comes down to it, and you're not addressing things like usury and austerity, the fact that the what is going on with the speculative stocks and everything, like it's pretty much like gambling, pretty much what's going on. The fact is that yes, you can say the Fed this, the Fed that, but the Fed can go. The system is what's the problem here, just like everything else. You could prop up a new central bank tomorrow and call it whatever the fuck you want to call it, but. I just wanted to say something because it's just, to me, I feel so many people were taken for a ride, and I feel this is deliberate. I feel that, they didn't want to get any other grassroots people running. So what happened to the Libertarian Party? They felt they had to compete. Not saying that I trust them either. Politics is politics. Most of it's staged. The lesser parties, lesser, but still, somewhat. But either way, what would have happened if somebody got in there and we knew that was the only choice? A lot of people would have got behind it, and it wouldn't have been running against a Republican or running against a Democrat. And you know what? If Ron Paul ran independent, like I said, he'd be on all 50 ballots. There's a reason he did that. He would still have the he'd still have the following he has now. You're not going to turn these people into Ron Paul fanatics. I think that anyone should have just saw it was bullshit when they saw that he was running as a Republican. If that wasn't enough to figure it out, then, I don't know what else is.
Not to interrupt you, but I knew it was bullshit once I saw that thing about the, what was that dude's name? Something Bush, the kid that interviewed him, and he asked him why he supported Lamar Smith, a guy that supported the Patriot Act, a guy that wrote SOPA. All these things that Ron Paul stands up. I've seen Ron Paul give 15-minute long speeches about how he's going to end the Patriot Act and he's going to stop SOPA, this and that. And he actually emailed all his supporters in Texas. And I don't like to get into politics too much at all, but this just annoyed me so much. He emailed all his supporters in Texas, Ron Paul did, and asked them to all go and vote for Lamar Smith. And then when confronted on it, his answer was actually... Well, because we made a deal to support all the delegates, all the incumbents, I mean. You made a deal, so that comes before our freedom and all this other shit you preach and liberty and all this and that. You made a deal, so that comes first. It's almost like, are you kidding me, guy? After that, I'm like, this guy is a complete fraud. And then I already knew, Alex Jones was a fraud, and, that's his buddy. So it was easy to see that, yeah. this guy's just another one of them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Just to correct myself, Gabe corrected me in the chat. It's the derivative market I was thinking of. And then here's the thing I was talking about. As far as the Paul Ryan recommends 1.5 billion austerity cuts for the poor and middle class, but the U.S. debt with obligations is 222 trillion in the derivatives, and the debt billed to future taxpayers is 1.5 quadrillion. Yeah, you know, the thing is obviously we all know this, that you know anybody who's woken up past eight, you know, Day Jonestown realizes that, you know, we don't owe that fucking debt. That debt is bullshit, thin air, paid to the central bankers as a, it's fractional reserve bank, you know, which means that they're just taking money and multiplying it and saying we owe it. And it's not going to actual money that we borrowed. Most of it is just coming out of, thin air. So.
Oh, yeah. Gabe said in the chat, the Paul's a controlled opposition. Absolutely, Gabe. Absolutely. Chris, why don't you I know you did a little dig. This was a while back. We talked about it in one of your shows. You were talking about, you know, Ron Paul and his wife, and you called the actual lodge and everything. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that real quick?
That's been a while back. We were talking about Ron Paul. There's questions that are out there on the internet, like, okay, is he a Mason? You know, he's kind of flashing these different hand signals and all that. And so I ran across a blog post, and it was discussing it, and it said that Ron Paul's wife and daughters are members of the Eastern Star.
Right.
Which is
his daughters were Rainbow Girls, and his wife was Eastern Star, correct? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, rumors floating around, right? So I would say, okay, well, you know, here's a phone number this guy gave on this blog. And so I just called it up and recorded the call. And I actually got a hold of a lady that she says that she had worked at one time for the Velasco chapter of the Eastern Star. And she confirmed that, yes, his wife is a member, and, you know, his daughters, and that, they currently are members of the Lake Jackson Eastern Star. And Lake Jackson is where allegedly Ron Paul lives.
Right.
And there's a, you know, Masonic Lodge there. And also tried calling up some businesses that, because of that, the Masonic Lodge is there in Lake Jackson. And I'm sure there may be more, but that one I found was kind of the main lodge, and that I figured that'd be the one where Ron Paul attended. And I tried to get a hold of some business in the area if they knew anything about Ron Paul attending the Masonic Lodge, but I couldn't get anything on that. But yeah, it was confirmed that his wife and daughters are Eastern Star. And if you look at the I have a link to it on my TalkShoe page in the information on that audio, that if you go to the Eastern Star website, which I provided a link to, they said that, yeah, the requirement of, let's say, your wife, of a woman being a member of Eastern Star, that their husband would be a Freemason.
Right.
So that's a prerequisite for being in the Eastern Star.
You should throw that link up, and we'll throw it in the chat for you if you can. Definitely throw up your link. One thing I wanted to add to that possibly is actually a little bit more on that is from what the digging I've done, and it seems that he seems to be along the same path as, you know, Jesse Helms, Albert Pike, and a few others, you know, where it's these same there's actually an article called Race, Ritual, and the Scottish Rite, and the Scottish Rite actually don't call themselves Freemasons. They say they're Masons. So when he says he's not a Freemason, he really might not be. He could say that with a straight face, and and actually still, you know, be an actual Scottish Rite Mate, which is a lot higher up than a regular Mason in general anyway. You know, so, I mean, there's no doubt about it after the Masonic handshakes and what Chris just said about, you know, the Velasco Eastern Star Lodge that, you know, that, like you said, the wife and daughters are members of. And, you know, like you said, you know, your husband has to be some kind of Mason to be involved in this. Yeah, there's a great article out there. I want to link you guys to it at some point. My computer is acting up right now, but it's I couldn't even get that other one out of the link. But it's called Race Ritual and the Scottish Rite, and it totally breaks it down. You know, it's the same, you know, kind of thinking, like I guess you would call it, like the Southern abolitionists, not abolitionists, the you know, like the Southern slaveholder thinking type thing, and they just break it all down pretty much as, you know, I thought it was well written anyway, and it pretty much convinced me that that's what his story.
Yeah, once I saw is. That thing where he literally said because we made a deal to support all the incumbents, I was just like, wow. I mean, like, what type of fraud makes a statement like that? I mean, how can you even say that? No matter what your beliefs are, how can you say because we made a deal to support all the incumbents? That's just like, fuck you and fuck you, whatever you think and whatever's better for you. We made a deal. Whatever's going to keep us in office, we're going to do it. We're going to support each other.
To be honest, that was the one thing, I think it was back in 09 or so, that really made me start digging into Paul, because that bothered me a lot too. Yep. You know,
that's just like then. The Jones video where he said anybody that believes there was no planes on 9/11 has a mental illness, and I'm listening to it and I'm like, what? This guy just called me mentally ill? This guy's been doing this for 10 years and he doesn't know this, and I've been doing it for two? What's he looking at, you know?
Here's the thing. Even if he didn't disagree with you, just saying that, though, isn't that exactly what every truther or truth seeker, whatever, is totally should be against? Yeah. You know, the fact that you have a mental illness for believing something that is outside the norm?
Yeah, you know, it's actually totally provable. It's the only thing that's totally provable. You could actually, you don't have to go by somebody's theory or somebody found thermite or somebody seen or heard this. This is all stuff you can see with your own eyes and use your own mind and make your own decision. And then that's already been done. And this guy's telling you have a mental illness. No, you're just a fat lying gatekeeper, Alex Jones. Sorry.
Yeah. That's what you have to go with, because you can't trust Alex Jones and all these people out there that are Stephen E. Jones. I mean, come on. Like, Brigham Young University, a Mormon institution, and which is Mitt Romney's club that he's a member of. And if you look in the history of Mormonism, it's so closely intermingled and intertwined with Freemasonry that you couldn't really make a real distinction between Freemasonry and Mormon and the Mormon Church. And then so there you go with like two members of the same. You got Ron Paul, member of the Freemason organization, and you got Mitt Romney, the member of the Freemason organization with the Mormon Church proxy or whatever. And then we've had that in past elections too. That was with two members of the Skull and Bones Club, for crying out loud. There's only supposed to be like 800 living members at any one given time, and you got two that are presidential candidates. Going to give me a break.
Oh yeah,
that was Kerry Bush in 04.
Yeah.
And back to Jones for a second. I mean, here's a guy that preaches about YouTube censoring him, Google censoring him, and he censors his own callers and his own website people. I mean, you can't even type the words, and most of you people know this. I know you guys know this, but some of the people in the group might not know. You can't even type the words "the Knights of Malta" on the Prison Planet forum. It'll get censored, and it won't be there when you refresh the page. And if you try and search any articles with it, it won't come up. And a lot of people right now are probably like, well, who the hell are they? You know, exactly. The alternative media won't talk about them. That's the military arm of the Vatican that has totally infiltrated pretty much every agency in our country. And I've mentioned this a few times, but this is important stuff, you know. This is the type of stuff that Alex Jones gatekeeps. And I don't know what your research has taken you, Chris, but I know that Justin and I know that I feel that pretty much all roads still do lead back to Rome and back to the Vatican. And there's just so much propaganda put out by them, and they're smart about it, you know? They make it look like they have nothing to do with anything, and they hide everything in religion, and in reality, it's them calling the shots. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah, I was talking to Cave Mug Dave about this stuff, and he's really good at going into the Jesuits and all that, because he's looked into it a lot. And he basically boiled it down to, like, when the Roman Empire allegedly fell,
they just turned into the Roman Catholic Church and changed all their titles, you know, right?
Yeah, they just took the Roman regalia off and just swapped it out for the robes and progressed on, you know, and didn't miss a beat. They just switched over the psychological operation to a religious one instead of a secular kind of imperialist one, you know?
Yeah, like people didn't even step down. They just changed titles.
The whole thing is, too, is that they didn't even change their religion is the whole thing about it. You know, these are major Saturn worshippers and you know, magicians and whatnot. My whole feeling behind the whole thing is, you know, and also to the bloodlines there, you know, people like Fritz Springmeier has covered this up by putting out, you know, the 13 Illuminati bloodlines. Well, you look at it, you say, well, why didn't he bring up these, you know, Ptolemaic bloodlines that supposedly have been, you know, the most true going back all the way to the Egyptians or whatever. And these are the, you know, the Aldobrandinis, the Farnese's, the Orsini's, and a few other ones, Breakspeare. And it seems like they have the Grey Pope every time. The Grey Pope is actually the bloodline one. You never hear about him. The Black Pope you do hear about a little bit now. He's a supreme general of the Jesuits. And pretty much what it is, too, is there's a big beef. There's always been a big beef between Italy and Spain. So they want the Italians to think that, you know, that they run the church, when in reality, you know, the Jesuits more or less operate, you know, they operate in the Vatican, but the Spanish are still the highest on the list, supposedly. And supposedly out of all nobility, the highest would be King Juan Carlos of Spain. So that's pretty much what I've, you know, dug into as far as, you know, looking into all that stuff. But I totally think that there is a place for the what you would call Zionists nowadays, but you know, the Jewish factor, and obviously it has a lot to do with like we've talked about before, the Kabbalah. You know, part of it, which, you know, obviously, and there's three spellings of Kabbalah. There's even a Catholic Kabbalah. And that's what, you know, that also has to do with this. You know what I mean? It's the chicken or the egg, but regardless of what they are, the power base to me is in Rome.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we can look at, you know, the establishment of the State of Israel and, like, who was instrumental in setting that up, who's got their fingerprints all over it would be, you know, the typical Rockefellers and the Rothschild families. And then, you know, who do they work for? Well, you know, the Rothschilds work for they're the bankers and the financiers to the Vatican. And then, but then there's stuff I've heard and that I believe that, you know, predates all of that, you know, back to, you know, the Crusades and all that stuff going on, where it was like, clearly the Vatican and all that was instrumental in pushing all that, and then sort of like a precursor to all this other events unfolding down through the years. But yeah, they always, you know, it's always, yeah, well, yeah, all roads lead back to Rome, and that's what makes the most sense, you know. And that's something the gatekeepers want to kind of steer you off of, you know.
Right.
They'll put so much emphasis on, you know, bankers, but like, oh, okay,
Bilderberg.
Yeah, the Bilderbergs. But then, like, you go, okay, oh, go pick up a copy of Forbes magazine and they'll say, okay, that we're going to give you the top 100 wealthiest people in the world, and they're going to put Bill Gates at the top. I mean, seriously, Bill Gates? I mean, yeah, give me a freaking break, man. I mean, you know, let's say that the Rothschilds had their money in just the lowest. And I've read some figures and stuff on the Rothschilds' wealth, and that even the most conservative figures you could put on there, what they'd be valued at today, if you look at what they were valued at in, let's say, the 1930s, that they would be in the trillions, even at the most conservative, low interest bearing account, just having their money just kind of squirreled away under a mattress, you know, or something like that, or in the just most conservative interest bearing account configuration that you can imagine. Like, they had no profitable investments or anything over all these years. I mean, come on, it's a total joke. But then, like, of course, that's on one level, the mainstream diverts the attention away by putting up somebody like a Bill Gates or something and saying, oh yeah, he's the richest man in the world, $53 billion. It's not even chicken feed compared to what these old money families have their hands in on. But that's typical, like, gatekeeping. You can clearly see it there. But, you know, I think the same thing goes on with alternative media and something like the Vatican. You know, you think about the Vatican, all those centuries of collecting tithes, 10% of all the staggering amount of wealth. You know, so they would dwarf even the Rothschilds, that's why the Rothschilds worked for them. You know,
right? The Rothschilds, when you see them in their ceremonial garb, they are wearing the Maltese cross. They are Knights of Malta. That's what they are. They're Knights of Malta at the, you know, one of the highest orders of Knights of Malta. But they answer to the Jesuits.
But yeah, but the point being is, like, okay, whatever the case, that we live in a money system, and we know that money runs things. Nothing's done without money. Nothing.
Right.
And so, you know, somebody wants to look at, okay, who would have the who would be the most established? What would be the oldest institutions that were set up centuries ago that have amassed wealth through different conquests? I mean, yeah, the Crusades or whatever happened down through history, and the opium trades, you know, the British East India Company and all this stuff, just.
Right,
massive storehouses of wealth all throughout the world, and centralized there in the city of London for centuries. You know, that's who runs the show. That's who runs the money system, and I would guess that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, okay, the so-called Western civilization, or what have you, that its life's blood is this thing called money.
Yeah, and so, the same countries that don't agree and buy into their money system and their world banks and all that shit are the same countries that we label as terrorists and we've been invading for the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, that's
the same ones: Iraq, yeah. Iran, Afghanistan. Okay, Libya. I mean, you got knocked three of those off the list: North Korea and Cuba. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you heard the? Have you looked at some of the YouTube videos that are out there with Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, or prime minister, or whatever he is?
Yeah, yeah.
And that guy right there, he sounds a lot like a lot of the stuff that, well, I mean, he sounds like a batshit crazy conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
But he's talking about chemtrails, weather control, on and on. And
yep.
And so that's something you never hear about.
And, yep.
And you could dig that stuff up, and he's just talking on and on about it. You know, that's what's being done to their country. And so now, whether that guy is straight up legit, I don't think so. I really don't. But it seems like that he represents some sort of opposition to the big established order on some level.
Yeah.
Even if that may be that, even that itself may be a psyop against the Iranian people, and then subsequently, even anybody who ran across it, American, you know, or Westernized person, you know.
I mean, just look at all the stuff that they used to say about Gaddafi, and Gaddafi was going to take $97 billion of his own money and put his whole continent, not just his country, the whole damn continent on their own money standard to keep them away from the money. The Western money civilization. That's why they really took him out. I mean, one of the main reasons. I'm sure he has some resources and shit that they want, but, you know, that's never talked about either. Oh, he's such a bad guy, right? That's all you ever hear. Every person you hear is probably a terrorist. It's probably actually just a good person against our damn system. And we're the terrorists.
Yeah, I would tend to think so, even though that I think they're... But I suspect, though, they're... There's even stuff going on at another level that you know, we're generally not privy to, which is that's, you know, we talk about these presidents, prime ministers, or whatever, as being actors, and I would think it probably wouldn't be good logic to exclude, you know, like a Gaddafi because, you know, they're standing in opposition and they're going to put out gold nuggets of truth, and they're going to stand up in opposition, and that's in sort of theater for the population there, and that's what could be going on. Of course, I don't know. I'm not there. I don't have a whole lot of information about what goes on over there, what the average person thinks about things or what. But but you know. The fact is, too, that they also, you know, with Iran, you know, they're talking about, oh, we're going to put sanctions on Iran. Well, of course, like Iran and every other country, they trade freely with the westernized world right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And and if you're not in lockstep to a certain degree, you wouldn't be in business, and you wouldn't be a prime minister, and you wouldn't be or a president or whatever. So you have to be an insider, like Saddam Hussein, we talked about before. You know, Marcus brings this up every time. Saddam Hussein, you know that Saddam Hussein was the largest individual shareholder in General Motors?
No idea of that.
Yeah, he's the largest private individual shareholder in General Motors,
That's fucking unbelievable.
So, and then he was supposed to be opposing the Western forces of evil and on, you know.
Yeah. And then when we look at his death, alleged death, how fake does that look? It's like...
Totally fake.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look like Saddam Hussein. He might have had bushy eyebrows, but that was about
the extent of
his teeth. Look at his jaw. Look at his... It's not the same guy. I mean... It's not.
Yeah,
it's just
you don't even know if, like, sometimes I feel like, are these people even real people or just made up characters, like made up names? Like with Bin Laden, we know that they used a couple different people to play him, so it's almost like he's just an entity that they made up, like this fake boogeyman that was, never mind a boogeyman that they blame shit on, it's almost like a boogeyman that never even existed, like just a fairy tale, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I've heard this too, that Obama, Barack Obama, his CIA name, his CIA handle was Tim Osman.
Well, which was the same as Bin Laden's.
Same as Bin Laden. And look at Bin Laden.
I've seen it. I've seen the comparisons in the video, and I was like, wow. But I'm too afraid to post it. I don't want people to, you know, because I have nothing to back it up. But man, those two guys look exactly the same.
Yeah. Now, that's not no Dallas Goldbug crap, you know. I mean, I'm assuming a lot of people are familiar with him because
we shot him down a few times on here.
Yeah, if you look at Osama bin Laden and Obama, I mean, look at the hands, look at the wrists, look at the
mouth, at the eyes, ears, the eyebrows, the cheekbones, the ears.
Now he's got some kind of theater makeup, obviously, to make his bottom lip a lot fuller and his nose look different, but look at the eyes line up there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's possible. I'm not saying 100% match like Dallas Goldberg would say, but I would say, man, that is, you know, same body type.
It's something to think about, and it would make sense because it's one less person to keep in the know, you know what I mean? One less person to let in on the inside, use the guy for both roles, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of like a in-your-face slam to the so-called profane.
Hey, we're telling everybody this guy just killed 3,000 of you, and now he's your fucking president.
Yeah, I mean that would be the ultimate, you know.
That'd be
I've thought of that before too. To be honest,
I've got that video buried on my YouTube somewhere. But they really do look so much alike. But I can't say that they're the same person. But I mean, I can't say that they're not either.
But think about it, okay? Let's say, I don't even think, you know, when I brought that up and I talked about it before, I made it clear that, you know, I'm not saying that. But here's the thing about, you know, just that discussion. It's like, how do you know? You don't know. You've seen Osama bin Laden. How do you know Osama bin Laden is even a real person? You've seen a few videos from him, some snapshots of him. You know, how do you know? We don't know. These people are just personas that are manufactured and rolled out. And then even on a different level, I think most people, even that believe the mainstream media, would have to admit to one degree or another that Barack Obama is a persona. I mean, you have to admit that he reads off a teleprompter. He doesn't write his own speeches. He's a manufactured persona. So when you understand that and you really let that sink in, then like you can say something like, "Well, how do you know that he's not Osama bin Laden?" That's not too far fetched. It's not too crazy at all. If you really think of the implications of like, okay, this guy is a persona. Like, in other words, nothing he says in front of the camera or nothing is outside of a script. So what's the problem with saying that it could possibly be Osama bin Laden? Same thing. I mean, it's just a persona, man. It's like, it's nothing real. It's manufactured.
Yeah.
But I mean, absolutely. I think obviously we take it further than most people would, but That's not far. That's not to me right now. It's absolutely
nope. Because
to me, after being lied to about 9/11, nothing's off the books. That's it.
Yeah, so, I mean,
here's the thing though too, is you know the whole thing is stuff like that where you you know you everything nowadays. I lost my thought, but you know, like you're saying, like nowadays it's just. Anything they would fuck with us so, you know, like you said, imagine having the same guy that they blame for 9/11 and putting him in as our puppet president. You know, it really, and with Obama's ties to the CIA, like, you know, like we found out about, obviously, and Osama's ties and the fact that the names are so similar and, you know, just the fact that Obama's, you know, shit, history is totally sealed up. I wouldn't be surprised. I've seen the ear matchups, the hand matchups, and everything. I wouldn't come out and say it 100%, but I wouldn't be surprised. I totally agree. I would not be surprised if that was the truth.
Yep.
Yeah, truth is stranger than fiction by far, especially when you know that 9/11, you understand the nature of 9/11 and what it really was. I mean, I don't want to use the word paradigm shifter or whatever, but that's a big, big shift from common, everyday, accepted reality. And then, but you look at how deep the deception goes, and then it's something like, I mean, really something like, you know, putting different stage makeup and rolling out the same guy that you use as the president to be the terrorist. It seems a lot more logical. And yeah, people would say, "Oh, that's crazy," but they believe in the moon they believe the moon crap they see.
Right.
So.
Right. It's cognitive dissonance is going to stop them from believing anything that someone that they don't like and trust is telling them, you know. And even then, if it doesn't go with their gut feeling on, you know, on what they've been programmed with, they won't believe it. That's just how, you know.
Even though
when I mean like and trust, I don't mean like mirror you with a family member either. I mean someone like a Limbaugh or a Bill Maher or someone like that type. You know, someone famous they think is you know, influential and smart. Good.
Yeah, and like, you know, well, all these people would have to be in on it in order for that to be true. Not necessarily. I mean, I bring this up over and over. I mean, anybody who's held down a corporate job, which is most people, and do you know what's going on in that back room in there? Do you know what's going on in those other offices? Do you know what's going on at the top levels and the meetings that they hold that's separate from the average worker that works there? No, you don't. You don't know. So what's so hard to accept about the idea that there are and always has been conspiracies? You know,
And what is a conspiracy? Is two or more people planning on doing something? You know what I mean? And that's the funny thing about, and not only that, but even if you want to get into like, you know, a real you know, what people haven't conspired to make a lot of money, and governments haven't conspired to do, you know, of course they have, and of course they will, and you know, I think people definitely see, you know, they only see it as a money thing, they don't see it as a power thing, and I think that's part of the problem as well, too, you know, they see it as, oh, well, you know, they just want to rip us off. It's like, no, they want to, you know, they want to keep us in, you know, enslaved and keep us in their system, too, and it's all about that. It's all about, you know, making sure that wherever they bring nature, that we go with it type thing. You know, they don't want you living on your, you know, your own land, growing your own food and supplying your neighbors with stuff and, you know, and living in a barter system. They don't want that. You know, they want you to, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So what's, I mean, right on with what you're saying there. So what, you know, take that and let's apply it to what we're talking about right now with, terrorism, with the mass shootings, with bird flu, with there's a meteor screeching toward Earth, or there's a possible alien invasion. What's the common underlying thread between all of this stuff that we're just bombarded with on a regular basis? It's that fear, and that what is the solution? Man, we really, really need this government to protect our asses. Because if it wasn't for them, how would we ever stand a chance against a giant meteorite hurling toward Earth? And then that all the governments can come together and build a big missile and fire it down, you know, that and save humanity. You know, like we're propagandized with in these movies and all this stuff. And like, you know, who's going to protect us from these crazy shooters if it's not the government? And but even though I think the it's shifting now to where it's like they're rolling themselves out as the tyrant, you know, they're just openly like, yeah, the cops will gun you down in the street, don't get out of line, you know, we got everything covered, we got cameras everywhere. Except for when there's a shooting, then they all go, or a bombing, a terrorist bombing, and they all go kaput at once. You know, but yeah, that's the theme. It always has been the theme from the Cold War to the Civil War to the just going back all through the history of so-called Western civilization. It's perpetual war, perpetual fear, and then this perpetual need for this protector, which you know, you have to have a big organized force to protect you against all these invaders or problems. You know, yeah, CDC, totally. FBI, CIA, all there to protect us.
Yeah, FDA.
FDA, when they're doing the exact opposite.
You know, and that's the thing about it. It's, you know, we're living in backwards land. You know, if you think about it, the Center for Disease Control, they're responsible for more pandemics than they're responsible for stopping. You know, the financial sector, the SEC, you know, they help the Wall Street crooks instead of prosecute them. You know, everywhere, FDA. They legalize poison and won't legalize you know, cures and and holistic medicines that work. You know, it's just really is back asswards, you know.
Yeah, we talked about that subject on the last call that I did. Went into like I was thinking about this, and it made total sense to me that. You know, you see these different documentaries about factory farming, right? And, you know, let's say, take example, pig farms. Now, these virulent diseases will arise in these conditions where you have these pigs packed into these corrugated tin buildings, and they're waiting around in their own excrement. And, you know, and then like the farmers and stuff that have you know, went over to this method, they'll even say themselves, it says, you know, that's, you know, I do this all the time. You got to keep on top of it. You have to give all these pigs these inoculations and all this stuff with this penicillin, all these different drugs you have to inject them with, or these diseases will get out of hand and wipe them all out. Well, but. You know, and then the contrast pigs that are on you know, free pasture and stuff, and they don't have any of those problems. You know, you'll have a pig that'll catch a disease and die, but it doesn't wipe out the whole entire herd. But you know, here's the point I'm getting at. It's like you get those kind of conditions are factories for these virulent diseases, and if you think about, you know, humankind. Being, you know, let's say packed into city living conditions, you know, like modern civilization warrants, you know, even going back to, let's say, you know, just go back to medieval times, you know, the bubonic plague and all that stuff. Well, that arose out of those conditions, which do not exist in a natural, like, say, the American Indians. And the reason why the American Indians were wiped out about with these smallpox and other diseases is because there were virulent strains that had been strengthened through generations of existing in these artificial conditions, which are cities. And they come to a people who are they live naturally. And it wipes them out because these bugs, these strains of diseases are aberrations. They're unnatural. They would not exist in normal conditions, right. You know. And so like all this stuff that's addressing this is like a lot of other things. It's like, well, all this stuff that the government is supposed to be protecting us from is the very things that the system created to begin with. Exactly. And it self-reinforces.
Right. So in other words, pretty much to sum up exactly what me and you've been talking about the last 5 minutes is, you know, without them causing all these things, it's the exact, you know, problem reaction solution thing. You know, how many of these agencies would we really need, you know, and how many would we need them to be the, you know, this deep or, you know, or as far as what they're doing pretty much. And, you know, but it's total corruption from one end. And that's another thing, Chris, I think that people don't understand is, you know, how deep it goes into the education and how you have things like the Cecil Rhodes Scholars and you know, these different clubs at Yale and, you know, not just there, but, you know, even your Phi Beta Kappas and, you know, I'm not just saying your fraternities, but that's what these fraternal organizations are. And that's, you know, whether, you know, not necessarily everybody gets the perks of it, but, you know, you get into these groups to get influence, And you know, no matter what field you're in, you know, you may get hoodwinked. Everyone wants to make it to the top of their field, and eventually, if they tell you to lie, most people are going to sell their soul. The ones that don't, they don't get the job, you know, or they end up getting, pushed out or whatever. Or if they really, you know, speak out, they get killed, you know. And it's just insane, though, how backwards, you know, things really are, though. And how, you know, really the more education you have, it's almost like the dumber you are to a certain point, you know.
Yeah, you get a more thorough, heavier dose of indoctrination than you would if you stay outside, if you limit your exposure to those institutions. Yeah, because doctors are the most brainwashed people on the planet.
Oh, absolutely. We were talking about that earlier. They just taught how to friggin' give prescriptions and write vaccines. And,
right.
Dentists, too, the same thing. The same thing.
Yep, and I would say that the, in my opinion, the most brainwashed professions have to be cop, military, doctors, and then, you know, anything, IRS agents. How many of them think that their job is, you know, that they're out there doing a good job? And, you know, even any, obviously law enforcement means cops, but, you know, It's just insane how you know, how many of these people do we rely on and think that, hey, this person's an expert, and, you know, when in reality they're an expert at doing what they're told. That's all it is. You know, they don't learn anything new. They just get the same regurgitated bullshit passed down to them, and you know, if they want to look outside the box, they're going to get ostracized later on. You know, and they have a way of pushing all these people out of all their respective, you know, fields or whatever. So,
yeah, that's the way that is. This system is, yeah, like you're saying, everything is on its head. It's like the reverse of what you would think, you know, because of being born into it and indoctrinated into it. And like, you know, the police, the cops, doctors are just mainly regurgitating what they're fed, and it's normally to perpetuate a lie, a scam, like eyeglasses. Like anybody that hears this and that's wearing eyeglasses, you don't have to wear eyeglasses. They're a scam. You know, I got rid of my eyeglasses end of February. And started doing the Bates method, and I see fine, and my vision has been steadily improving to the point where I have no use for glasses at all. I mean, I couldn't read the
I was actually sorry to cut you off, but someone else in the group actually was saying that a couple weeks back. You know, and I'll let you get back into that. They were saying that pretty much they have the same thing, and they started taking a few different supplements and eating a few different foods. And like you said, now they can see fine. Continue with what you were saying, though.
Yeah, but then, you know, it goes back to what we were just talking about, how it's, you know, problem, reaction, solution. You know, you have this, we live in this, you know, so-called civilization or Western civilization. And, you know, a lot of, like, I think the majority of the health problems that people are having to deal with every day are a symptom or a byproduct of living in these unnatural, artificial conditions, you know. And, like, when you get into the Bates method, you know, and kind of go into the thinking of this ophthalmologist, William H. Bates, and he breaks it down like, well, it's caused by your poor eyesight, your nearsighted, and your farsightedness is caused by eye strain, and your vision center is like 90-some-odd% mental. It has a lot more to do with your mental processes than it does just about anything else. The idea that it's your the structure of your eye is somehow deficient or something like that is false. Your eye has this incredible capacity to make accommodation to allow you to have clear vision. And because of the muscles are what on your eyeballs, what causes your eyeball to change shape. And they're, well, they're muscles. They're flexible. They change. But you do it unconsciously, just like your heartbeat or your hearing, you know. And then the eye strain is brought on through, you know, and he more or less pointed the finger at schooling, you know, modern day, you know, institutions, the school institution, where you're sitting and you're straining to read at a chalkboard, and it's coupled with this push to perform, and you're under stress and strain, and somebody who's of a more more sensitive constitution, their personality is more maybe introverted or shy or sensitive, will have more propensity to develop bad vision. But that's...
I'll tell you, here's the thing with me, though, because I have one eye that sees near perfect, and yeah, the other eye is bad. And, you know, and I don't know, I mean, you know, obviously, here's the thing that I've always attributed to is I got hit by a baseball in my left eye, which is the bad eye, when I was, like, probably 11, 12 years old. And my brother threw, you know, close to 80 miles an hour at the time or so. So I don't know if that's why that eye is so bad, but I'm talking like I'm 25/20 in my right eye, and my left eye is like 60/20 or something like that. You know,
yeah, so I mean, you could probably try the space method, and you know what may have happened. I don't know, you know, but to go back into what they discuss in this and this. Idea of why you have bad vision. You know, it could have been that, you know, you're having a lot of pain in that eye, and that you developed that mental strain as a result of that. And maybe nothing wrong with your eye structurally at all. Or, you know, if you sustained an injury and there's some injured or scar tissue or something going on in there, that's
yeah, the scar tissue thing different. I was just thinking of too. That makes sense, yeah.
That's
Or even it just could have, you know, even knocked something loose back there or whatever, you know, as far as, you know, maybe it ain't not connected right, but, you know, just any little thing, I'm sure it's a sensitive organ, you know, so.
Yeah, but then again, too, I think that you more than likely, I mean, from the stuff I understand about it, from reading about it for the last several months, that you could definitely get improvement. Yeah, you could definitely benefit from it, even though like you're saying, you're not saying that you have like some heavy scar tissue, had a muscle removed or anything like that. It's just like you had a pretty bad injury, and that
you know, my eye was swollen shut for a few days. There was blood obviously in the eye, you know. They said my eye wasn't structurally damaged at the time, but ever since then, it's like that. I never, you know, it just, it's always like I could cover my left eye and read the TV fine, and then I gotta close my right eye, and I gotta walk like all the way up to it to see what it's saying, and it's still almost blurry, you know. So it's,
yeah. But it could still be a result of the mental strain that came out of that, you know, it came out of that injury, and that as you were recuperating, that you developed a strain in that eye, and that, yeah, I mean, I would recommend anybody with vision trouble to, you know, investigate that, the Bates method, and try it out, because, you know, what I did is, like, you know, I kind of jumped into it, and I tried the recommendations that were on there, and like I noticed, okay, yeah, I'm getting this improvement, even though it's very short term, And so it's just a proof of concept saying, yeah, this, there's something to this, and you just progress on. And then the more you see that it's actually does, it is effective, you know, it, but it motivates you, you know? So it's not like something that you have to, you're going to commit a lot of time to, and then like figure out, you know, 6 months, a year down the road, oh, well, you know, I do have structural damage to my eye because it's not working. You'll know, you know, you'll know if it's going to help you or not. You know, if you're, if you go into it and give it a chance, you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out. That's called the base method. And where, is there like one program of it or a certain person or something that you would recommend, you know, anyone to our listeners even or whatever?
I would recommend like getting one of William H. Bates' books. You could download them, a PDF on, you know, when you Google it, you'll see all kinds of different books and stuff. The one that I got was Better Sight Without Glasses, and that's, you can get that used for like $5 or something, and or download a PDF of, from what I understand, there's there's more thorough publications out there that were originally published by Bates himself, but and they're available on as PDFs, and there's all kinds of stuff out there. There's all kinds of there was one program that I ordered that's a set of CDs. It's oh, let me grab that. Just 1 second, because that's a pretty good one. I'll be right back.
All right. Well, Chris is going to get that or whatever. I don't know. Brian, you there? Yeah, I don't know if you guys have been listening or just going at it in the chat. We've been having a little AJ discussion in the chat. You know, I think you're, the thing is that what Brian's trying to say and what Shane's trying to say, and I do understand Gabe's point, you know, about just getting the information and Simone as well. But, you know, I think my problem with him is just the fact that a few times he's been, you know, acting very COINTELPRO-ish and, you know, like at the Austin gun rally, Y2K, you know, it's just the fear thing, the fact that, you know, he wants you to be so scared of these events. And, you know, and the other thing would just be, you know, the of course, the ties to the groups like the CNP and everything. I don't know. To me, that's what really, you know, throws me over the edge. And then not to mention Bohemian Grove. I know Gabe is saying that the security was light or whatever, but I don't believe that anyone can get in there without an invitation. And even in the film, he claims to have gotten past three or four guards, but every time the batteries just died. To me, it's a no-brainer. But you know, I don't know. I don't want to keep it going on. I think, but it's just something that I think is you know, I think the guy is definitely COINTELPRO. I think, you know, whatever, get what you can get from the guy.
He obviously protects certain groups and points the fingers at other, and any real truther would put it all out there. And I don't want to hear this stuff about he's an entertainer and he needs ratings. Well, then what makes him any different than mainstream media? Then he's not a truther. He's not a truther if that's the case. And yeah, he's right about some things, wrong about others, and I'm sure we are. I'm sure we're wrong about a lot of things, but you know what? We don't purposely go out and try and deceive people, and he does.
Right.
And that's a fact. And maybe you guys haven't gotten to that point yet, but he does.
And hold on, I want to add another thing, too, and that's the greed factor. And, I mean, you know, you got a guy here that is living in a mansion, making, you know, at least a couple $100,000 a year, and then the fact that he throws these money bombs and makes another, you know, $500,000, you know, off of working class people. And I, you know, I you know, and he says to make another documentary or whatever. I don't know. I just to buy a new studio. I just think that people, you know, that it's crazy. It's a you know, a cult following. Another thing too that, well, you know, maybe he believes in it, but the Austrian economics thing is just a total. I got the echo going. I think Brian's gonna play a clip, but.
Oh, Justin, I'm sorry about that. You know what? Yeah, we're gonna take a quick break. Well, Chris is digging up that, and then you'll get back into this, and I just got to take care of our little canine problem in the background here because it's getting a little out of control. So, I'm gonna play a quick clip, and we'll be right back in about 7 minutes, guys. Just stay tuned. All right, you're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and basically our guest tonight, Chris Kendall.
Back to Truth Jihad Radio, where we are asking the 9/11 Truth Movement to come together. And hey, we've got somebody coming together right now. It is perhaps the most illustrious guest I've had in many a fortnight, the inimitable Alex from Texas. Come on in, Alex. How are you?
How do people know this is Alex Jones? Just because I said my name was Alex.
Your voice. Well, you know, that's what appeared on my caller screen there, Alex. So, you know, I had to give away your anonymity there pretty cheap.
Oh, no,
how's it going?
They just immediately recognized me, I guess, from my voice. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm driving along down the road here listening to you guys. And I don't really bring this up a lot on my own show because, in a way, I think it adds fuel to the fire. But I think, you know, so much has basically precipitated out that now we can look at it with some clarity and some hindsight. I mean, if I could spend a minute or two on this, I'll add a few basic facts and hang up and get both of your response and take, because I want to, you know, hear what you think about that.
Take as many minutes as you want.
Well, thank you. If my cell phone starts cutting out, just tell me, because I'm driving to the hills here.
Okay.
It's real simple. We know the Pentagon for decades illegally and now publicly. The Army Times just announced we're going to have full armored brigades in the U.S. for Homeland Security, regular Army, engaging in law enforcement. So we know that, just like in Michael Moore's movie Fahrenheit 9/11, that the group baking cookies once a week talking about peace, or people going and giving flyers to Halliburton employees in Houston, had Army intelligence infiltrate them, try to get them to commit crimes. This goes on. I mean, mainline churches are infiltrated. Everything is watched by the military-industrial complex. And so we know from the Kennedy assassination and what Jim Garrison went through and what he wrote about, what they do. And they had people infiltrate the movement to expose JFK's assassination by the shadow government. And they would act normal for a few years and then suddenly announce they were Martians, or suddenly announce that they fingerprinted their daughter every morning to make sure it was still her, and, you know, all this craziness. So there's standard stuff that goes on. So let's not deny that we have infiltrators and attackers. There are people with fake handles under my name, especially under your name, Kevin, running around all over the web saying racist things, horrible things, things about Jews to try to put it on us. There's actually a YouTube investigation going on right now about that. But bottom line, this is going on. Now, that said, I noticed day one that the no-planers for Tower 1 and 2 and that the space beamers would viciously attack anyone who didn't immediately agree with them and scream and yell at them and scream and yell at me and try to bully me and others, and then viciously try to discredit the key researchers that were getting things ready for peer review, which they did, the key researchers that were really on the trail that's now fleshed out with Kevin Ryan and all these other people and Stephen Jones and yourself. I mean, this is bombshell with the thermite, and it's just so incredibly on target. Just every step of the research continues, and it's really waking a lot of people up. So I noticed that not only did the bullies attack everybody 2 years ago and say, you've got to agree with us, at that critical point when the establishment finally decided 9/11 was a big threat to them, they then attacked all the key researchers savagely, and then national TV kept giving them attention, kept giving and saying, and so now when I do a national TV appearance or I go on a national radio show, they say, oh, you're the group that thinks space beams did it. or you're the group that thinks there were no planes. And I would talk to these no-planers, not their low-level, weak-minded people that follow them, but I would talk to the high-level, you know, the progenitors of it, and they would say, and I'd say, well, listen, I had family that was in New York, and they, you know, they saw the first planer, they saw the second planer. I had family friends going back to college who saw it, and they'd say, shut up, liar, you're probably just a fan. I'm like, well, no. I mean, there was hundreds of cameras that, you know, picked up at least the second plane. I mean, we can argue about where they painted up, like Northwood says, that the CIA switched planes. You know, that's all legitimate. But I said, and they're, you know, on and on and on and on and on, just viciously. So there's no credibility to that. There is credibility to a missile at the Pentagon, and the evidence really stacks up to that. And then another aircraft painted up like 77 flying over. People smelling the cordite, you know, all the film footage that has been released, sure enough, doesn't show the plane. So they really are desperate to try to poison pill and discredit the movement. And they always say, well, free speech. Well, free speech doesn't mean that we don't criticize what they're saying. Free speech means we don't stop them from what they're saying. So watching this from the inside and being fooled by some of the people, you know, I mean, I built a lot of them up and gave them big platforms myself, and, you know, in what ways I could. And it's become very clear, and other operations, everything that can be done to make the 9/11 truth look clownish, then the progenitors of the no plane hypothesis go out and say that 9/11 truth bombed the Army, Navy, Marine Corps recruiting center in Times Square. They do everything they can, and we've also seen them coordinating with mainstream TV, and I've even seen the body language on the ground, and they come together to events, mainstream media with them. So there's no doubt this is a classic op. They've got a lot of mentally ill people and a lot of stragglers that, you know, follow them, and a lot of weak-minded people, and there's some personality conflict going on as well. But in closing, that's not their big salvo. That salvo failed. And I want to report that to everybody. I've been analyzing it in depth. It has failed. The good news is that that is falling apart. The bad news is there is a concerted operation for the last 4 or 5 months from hundreds of quarters, from Skeptics Magazine to you name it, to people in our own, quote, movement. They'll operate a few years and then activate. That's how an operation works. They try to build cred, and usually no more than 18 months, generally 12 months, and they activate. They're following a blueprint. And we have Army field manuals on this from other countries they've done it in. And most of them are former Army. It's not even hidden. Like, a lot of them are former PSYOPs. Like, oh, yeah, now I'm the truther. Oh, yeah, I'm PSYOPs. I was PSYOPs. I can help you. But then they activate. They start coordinating the screw loose change, and they activate, and they say, guess what? 9/11 truth's dead. There's no numbers. Nobody cares. At a point when 9/11 truth has grown to the point of polls worldwide, the majority believe the government's lying. A huge percentage of that majority believe it's a total inside job. With all these celebrities and German defense ministers and Italian presidents and Italian intelligence chiefs and best actress and governors and Willie Nelson and you know, and then other people just defecting from them and then saying, yeah, the government killed Kennedy. Folks that did 9/11 killed Kennedy. You know, I reported that 6 months before, because my stuff was given to Bruce Willis by Rick Linkletter. He said it on my show, and people said it was a lie, but then Bruce Willis came out and said, no, it's true, but I have no further comments. The top comedian, best friends with Sarkozy in France. On and on and on, daily bombshells where false flag, inside job is now becoming mainline accepted. It's the same thing that Gandhi and others said. It goes through three stages. First, it's ignored, then it's ridiculed and attacked, then it's universally accepted. We are having victory, but the enemy are masters. Like Tokyo Rose, even as Japan was totally collapsing, saying, G.I., you've lost, G.I., you're dead, G.I., the war is over, G.I., we got Hitler. When he was imploding, we've got super weapons, it's over for you. No, you terrorists that carried out that. You're no planes, your space beams have failed. Announcements that 9/11 truth failed. You didn't think we'd notice operatives, those out there listening and monitoring, fall activated 4 months ago?
Okay, Alex, that's pretty well put. Can you stay on and can I ask you a couple of quick questions after the break?
Sure.
All right.
All right, guys, and we've got one more clip to play. It's only a minute and a half, and then we'll be back from our break.
I think all you... Before I digress and forget about it, and this is all I'm going to say. I think all you no planers ought to really be proud of yourselves. Those of you that are weak-minded and have followed the different feds that have put that out, no planes at the towers, you ought to really be proud of yourselves because Howard Stern has now given a no-planer a show on his network. That's what the establishment is doing, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you've done to this country. That's you're not going to stop 9/11 Truth. It's one of the only effective attacks the enemy has launched. And but people are getting sophisticated and now and realizing exactly what you're doing. If you can't beat us on the facts, you will then magnify kook 9/11 groups to then make us all look bad. It's called black propaganda. And it's not going to work. And that's all I'm going to say on that subject. But people tell me I ought to like Howard Stern, and he's had Bapa Booey call in here, whatever that twit's name, and it was him. They bragged about it. They don't like this show. They've called me before. Repeatedly, the Howard Stern Show has, and vetted me to come on, and I just basically told them, you know, I don't need to be, you know, told I need to come on and act stupid. Hey, you want to come on and act stupid? We only want you on here to come on and act stupid. Now, I don't want to come on and act stupid. See, I'm not like that. I won't geek for you so I can get attention to destroy this country. Understand? That's not how this works, and it's a despicable thing, and people should cancel their XM Sirius contracts because of it. If you've got it, you should call them and cancel it. It's disgusting. Nothing but sucking this country down in the pit of hell.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. My co-host, Justin Cook. We're joined in on the call tonight by Chris Kendall. Pretty active chat tonight. People going back and forth. Just so everybody in the chat knows, even though we don't agree on everything, and especially, you know, what we're talking about tonight and the Alex Jones thing, I have great respect for everybody that's in here. I want to thank everybody that's listening to the show, everybody that's participating in the chat, and hell, that's what we're here for. We're here to disagree and try and hash things out. So no hard feelings between anybody. That's all I'm saying.
I would say something about this. Oh, by the way, that Bates Method program is visionimprovementcenter.com. It's pretty good if anybody wants to look into that. But yeah,
visionimprovementcenter.com. Okay.
Yeah. Why don't you tell people a little bit about what you did about your teeth there, with your little thing to Mexico and everything. That's a pretty cool story.
Oh well, yeah, I got my amalgams taken out, so I went to Tijuana, which if you want cheap dental work done that's really really good, I recommend it. If you gotta get some dental work done and you can't afford the American dentist, which if you want to get the composites put in and have it done with the precautions where they're not gonna be dropping nuggets of mercury down your throat in the process and then drilling it out in the open air where it sprays out everywhere, you know, that they where they call it natural method or whatever. Yeah, you could there was a clinic down in Mexico that I went down to, a dentist's office in Mexico, the Dr. Solario, and hooked me up down there, and it's like a fraction of what it would cost here. So yeah, hitchhiked out there, went to Mexico, got it done, came back. I think I had 11 fillings removed and replaced, and the dentist bill was around $800.
That's amazing. That's,
yeah, it's for like 11 teeth, which is that's cheap. What would it come out to per tooth? I don't know, but it'd
be close to $2,000 at least. Yeah, I mean, just for a regular filling, even more. I mean, my dentist usually gives me a good deal because I pay cash, but I usually pay probably about $1.50 a tooth. So, and I know most dentists are closer to $300 if you use your insurance or whatever.
Yeah, and if you look at the ones that do it, that put in the dental dam and all that, and do the suction thing where they take out the vapor as it's being put out with the drill. You know, it's like $1,000 per tooth. you know, so that was like for one, for less than what it would cost here for one tooth, I got them all done there. Yeah, if you take into account the well, what they call mercury free dentists here in the United States, where they're not just wildly drilling out the mercury and letting it go everywhere, because from what I understand, the mercury is like some of the most highly toxic stuff you can get in contact with. So probably a good idea to keep it under control.
Yeah, but, I'd say so.
I want to say something about this Alex Jones, the Bohemian Grove. You guys know there's this movie out. It came out in 2002, Teddy Bear's Picnic. Have you heard of that?
No, what is it?
It's got like all these different actors in it, like Harry Shearer. See, I'm reading off this thing. George Wendt. So it's like fairly big name actors. It's not like some totally obscure film, but this came out in 2002, and it's about Bohemian Grove, and it's a motion picture about Bohemian Grove. And in this motion picture, I haven't watched it. I've watched segments of it on YouTube, but then there's this infiltrator that comes in and films it, and he's going to leak it to the press. So it's kind of like this out that it was where it's kind of doing it in fiction, like playing it out in fictional form, the Alex Jones infiltration. And this came out in 2002, like May of 2002, according to the Wikipedia article on it. And Alex Jones came out with the Dark Secrets in Bohemian Grove. He came out with that in 2000, in July of 2000. So they had to have already been in production on this movie before Alex Jones ever allegedly infiltrated the Bohemian Grove.
Yep.
So I think that's kind of interesting. And I remember Alex Jones even mentioning it, this movie, and even saying that he was depicted in it. And with the infiltrator that got in there and got footage and got out. But yeah, it seems like a lot of people don't understand that, like, when a movie comes out and it has like pertinent topical stuff that, like, you know, like you see all the time in these movies, like they'll come out with something like the movie 2012. I mean, they have a black president and all that, and they talk about in there how the dollar is going to drop. Well, they were in production before that was ever headlines, before Obama was even president.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, like, if people understand that, like, these films take years to get to the theater. They go into production, and they do years of shooting and reworking the script and on, and getting the casting and doing all that. It's years before the movie even comes out in the theater. So I'm sure the same with this Teddy Bear's Picnic. It's a crapper of a film, from what I understand. It's not worth watching, but it's just interesting that this came out like in a timely manner right after the alleged Bohemian Grove infiltration by Alex Jones.
Yeah. We know Hollywood's privy to a lot of information and tied into a lot of shit, so it wouldn't surprise me at all, you know. I mean, just look at all the pre-programming before 9/11 in Hollywood and all the different movies and TV shows and everything. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The shit was everywhere. I've done a thread on it in my forum, and I'm sure I haven't got them all, but I've got like 30 different TV shows and movies where, you know, the Twin Towers are just being destroyed, you know, in like the 10 years leading up to 9/11, and all these different movies, it's always the Twin Towers being destroyed. It's pretty crazy stuff, man. And Chris, you know, those weren't even the most popular buildings in New York. Yeah, they were the biggest, But when people thought New York, they would think Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty. Nobody really thought the World Trade Center that much until 9/11 happened, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but you see it in all the previous movies leading up to 9/11, like
all 9/11
references.
It's ridiculous.
Did you guys ever see that series of videos somebody put out on YouTube? And I think it's still up there. It's 9/11 in Hollywood, I think is some of the title of it. And it's just example after example after example. It goes on for like 2 or 3 hours. I think it's like 3 hours. It may even be longer than that. But it's just wow. It's just one example after the other. And once you see it like that, it's just like, what the hell, man? You know? Going back to like the 70s, 60s.
And, oh, yeah. And 1975, the cover of the National Lampoon magazine. Fuck. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't remember them
even showing that one. And that's another one. That's another, that one poster. You've had that, you've talked about that and posted that picture of that poster showing the towers burning.
Yeah.
Right where they were on 9/11,
right,
and that was like 1975.
Spot. Yeah.
That's another one.
Yeah, if you look in the chat right now, I just posted a long link. That'll bring you right to my forum post that I did on the 9/11 predictive programming. And I mean, look at the Armageddon one. I mean, the Armageddon looks just like 9/11 also. You got the Super Mario Brothers movie, looks almost like the Judy Woods type theory. You've just got movie after movie. Even the, most of them, they're blown up, right? But in the movie, these are big movies, too. In the movie Deep Impact, this big tidal wave comes and washes over the towers, and the towers get destroyed. But then, as the tidal wave goes through the street, and the people are running, it's like the exact same camera angle as when the people are running from the dust cloud. Like, it looks so similar to it. It's eerie. It's almost like they just took the wave out and put a dust cloud in. Like that's how much of the same it looks.
Wow, that came out before 9/11 too, didn't it?
All of them. Every single one I posted came out before 9/11. All of them. In the late 90s, it was very prevalent. Even the TV show Friends, they made them change their intro and take out the regular towers and put in the CGI ones. In like 97, so people would start to get used to seeing, you know, the fake, all grayish looking towers.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about that. I was listening to your podcast, and
yeah,
they're saying that the intro of the show was changed not too long before 9/11, and they used like this washed out version of the towers like you see in the 9/11 videos. Yeah, that is
exactly
great.
They really did. Exactly. It's right in that link. If you don't have it, I'll drop it to you here in the Skype for you real quick so you can open it.
I heard you guys talking.
There you go. Just click that, and just when you open it, you'll see the stuff. It's all right there. Just scroll down. It'll start off with Armageddon. You'll see even in cartoons, man, like Donald Duck. Like, I mean, there's just all types of cartoons where the Twin Towers are getting destroyed. And it's always the Twin Towers. It's crazy, man. It's crazy stuff, you know? Like, I can think of two movies where they destroy the Empire State Building. Probably King Kong and Independence Day. But even Independence Day was, like, 9/11 pre-programming. They show you the building getting blown up from the top down, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Yeah,
wow.
Game King said Matrix 9/11 is my favorite, because in the Matrix, Neo's passport expires on 9/11. But, I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Comic books. There's comic books where they're destroyed. It's crazy. Crazy stuff. Guys, everybody check out that big, long link I put in the chat if you haven't already. I'm sure a lot of you have. But, I mean, just take a quick scroll through, 30 seconds, you know, and just look at some of the images.
Yeah, That's really good the way you laid it out there.
Yeah, I mean, how can you deny that there's foreknowledge there? And you have seen the George Bush video in the classroom before they read the My Pet Goat, right? When he has the kids chanting, McClane must hit steal?
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, right before it happened.
Yeah.
And then there was like somebody put up the one with the they were running a commercial featuring Batman, and then like right before they cut to the very first mainstream news report on what was it, the one of those morning shows, like Batman's talking on the his, I think it's for OnStar, and he says, yeah, things are about to heat up or something like that, and then it cuts the commercial off and it goes right into 9/11 coverage, the first 9/11 coverage. And so like a Batman, like there's like a theme or something that's integrated in these psyops, you know, like how it was tied in with you know, even foreshadowing this recent shooting thing and then like associating with 9/11, and then like, you know, you remember when that come out, it's like there was all this like, you know, initial terrorism references and stuff. So every time they bring out a new psyop, there's always some kind of tie-in back to 9/11, just like this Empire State Building one. She mentions 9/11 and like all these different ones. They, you know, the Sikh temple shooting. You know, it's like you think, you know, somehow it's a retribution for 9/11 or something like that. You know, it's always that kind of running thread through all this stuff.
Right. Oh yeah,
you know what's crazy actually with the Sikh shooting too is if you look at the first CNN article that came out about it, they mentioned 9/11 three times in that one article. You know, just to go with what you were just saying. You know, just it's totally done just to put it back in the public's mind. Especially a month before the 11th year anniversary, you know, and everything else, of course.
And that's just the big terror thing. That's, like, it. That's the event. Like, they keep pushing it and, like, just keep reminding people of it. And that's what keeps people scared. Oh, you don't want another 9/11. Or, oh, these people did 9/11. Or, oh, this is, like, 9/11. Or,
You guys remember that, I'm sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's cool. Go ahead.
That photo op that they did with the Air Force One flying over Manhattan and freaked a bunch of people out.
Yep.
Like they always got to have a constant reminder. They got to put something out on a regular basis to continually keep that steered up, keep it in people's minds.
Yeah, totally. It's you know, and pretty soon we're going to be coming up on the Propaganda Central when they play all the, you know, they play everything over and over again. And now, I don't know this year if there's going to be any action.
Justin, when you cut out for a second, you know, say that again?
The fact of 11 years before 9/11, you had... I cut out.
Yeah, hold for on. A second, you said just for. Right. I heard you yawn, and then you cut out.
All right. See, every year around like the 9/11, you know, they come out with all these propaganda specials. So now, I'm wondering, obviously, if the 11, knowing that these nutballs and their, you know, their numbers, the 11, you know, having so much significance as the 1990 New World Order speech given exactly on September 11, 1990, 11 years before. You know, now 11 years after, I almost wonder what significant ritual they're going to play out for this, or, you know, what event, you know, they're going to do, or if it's just, you know, what significance it has. So tired, but, you know, no, I'm just, you know, just with the whole propaganda thing and the fact that they've been trying to recondition us for 9/11 so much lately, you know.
Oh yeah, well, it's anniversary time, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll probably never end. I mean, they'll be using this event forever, and it's basically a non-event, you know. You know what sucks is like you wanna be skeptical about other things, like let's say JFK or things like that. But like Chris was saying earlier, you know, and I've been saying this to Justin too. It's so far in the past now, and there's been so much disinformation and other information removed, it'd be so hard to get the truth on something that happened 50 years ago now, you know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
And I would love to know, you know, is the Zapruder film real, or did they really kill this guy, or... And I'm not saying, you know, any of the things I'm saying right there are true, I'm just saying, I'm just putting questions out there. You gotta question everything now. And it's just like all these old events that we've been told that happened in history, Pearl Harbor, and I mean, we know a lot of that was staged and stuff, but just to find out the whole truth about these events, that's why we got to stay on top of things when they happen. That's why it's good that we have our groups and our people that we communicate with and try and decipher things as they happen, because if you wait too long, man, there's just so much disinformation piled on, it makes it impossible.
Yeah, it's like, makes you wonder what we can know about history at all.
I know. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, we've been lied to for thousands of years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. From the moon to the 9/11 to no telling what all else. I think the Kennedy assassination is probably, you know, we talked about it before on the Hoaxbusters calls, like, how is it, you know, likely that, how likely is it that JFK, there wasn't even a real assassination? It was completely a stage play, just like 9/11. And starting, the more I look into stuff about it, kind of with that in mind, the more my thinking starts to go that way. And, you know, people would say, and then what would be the objections to it? Well, we saw it on film. We saw his head get blown off. It was a Zapruder film. We saw it, you know, like, how could that be not real, you know? But they had methods back then, just like they do today.
You gotta remember that there's so many years ahead of technology of what we think they have. They could have the stuff that we see now back then. I mean, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I have this, there's this software coming out, and it's like a photo analysis software that's going to let you detect forged photos. And on their site, they go into photo fakery throughout history.
Yes, I've heard about this.
Yeah, I'll pull that up. I'm looking for it right now.
I've heard about that. It's like a new software to detect when something's been photoshopped, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I have it here in a second. But, yeah, they go back into, they show, like, they is the article, and then they bring up, like, there's a famous picture of Abraham Lincoln, and they say, oh, yeah, actually, that was Abraham Lincoln's head on some other dude's body, and that was, like, way back. The beginnings of photography, you know, the so-called beginnings of photography, you know, and, damn, I know I have this in my notes. Well, yeah, so this stuff has been ongoing for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Fake photos, fake.
Fakery. You know, fakery. Fake news, fake events, never mind. You know, false flag. It goes beyond false flag, guys. It goes to fake events that you're made to believe. You know, the mainstream public will believe it's what they're told. And then the people that they want to call conspiracy theorists, or what I would rather call critical thinkers, they want you to believe it's false flag. And I'm sure there are false flags. I'm not saying they never happen. But, you know, the majority of the time, they're just made up events. Because they don't need to kill the people, usually. I'm not saying they don't ever bomb. I'm not saying they don't ever shoot their own people. I'm not saying none of it ever happens. But I'm saying most of the time, it is bullshit. I don't know how else to say it, you know? But, I don't know. We've been going for a while here. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we kind of wrap it up for the night? And I know Justin's got to work tomorrow. He's getting tired. Justin, anything else you wanted to hit on?
Yeah. No, nothing really. I don't know. I want to do a little bit more reading on the Aurora thing, maybe, and maybe we'll do you know, touch on that for a little while next week or something. Maybe do a little bit more reading on you know, a few of these things, but I think for tonight, you know, that's pretty much I've gotten everything out of one to say.
Yeah, well, Chris, why don't you throw your link up again in the chat and tell everybody what nights you're on or whatever and how they can find you or get in contact with you, because you've got a great show also, and I'd like to send as many people as we can over to listen to you.
Okay, yeah, I'll grab that. I'm trying to put that link I was just talking about into the chat. Now it's asking for a username and password. I think I have. Sorry about that. So.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Listeners, while you're out there, while Chris is looking for that link and before we plug a show and everything, anything else you guys wanted us to touch on briefly before we close it out? We definitely got to close it out within the next 10-15 minutes at the most. So if there's anything you think we didn't touch on enough or need to get a little deeper into, I mean, just throw it in the chat and let us know. We'll try and hit on it real quick.
Hey, I wanted to bring up something real quick, and actually, I think it's a legit story, to be honest, and that's this kid, Brendan Robb or whatever, that got taken in, was a Marine, and here's the thing, he did write some somewhat threatening stuff on Facebook, but just the whole thing, I mean, you know, I think they definitely, obviously, I believe he was still active duty Marines or whatever. I don't know. Did you see any of that? Obviously, it was.
I saw it a little bit. I didn't get to read it too much because it was over the last couple of days. I was working a lot, so. But what do you got on it?
To be honest, right now, not much. But supposedly, you know, and this might be more of a fear thing, but supposedly, his lawyer said. Has works for some place that gets people like that, some pro bono place, does stuff for free for liberty case or whatever. They're supposedly saying that activists all over the country are, not necessarily activists, but more veterans are being thrown in, for saying anything about their government. Type of thing, and it could be something as simple as this, just to scare the veterans from just getting on the from talking out against it. Who knows? But I don't know. I do think that should be brought up one way or the other. I don't know. To me, that it seems legit. It seems his brother and his mother and everything are they've. Actually, a couple, I don't know. They're in groups and stuff. You could talk to them, and whatnot. So I don't know. It just seems like it's definitely pretty real. It wasn't all over the news either. I think that it's something that they're going to do over the next couple of years. As it gets worse, and it'll be another tactic to keep the military, because they know that's the only real way of is if the military turns on them. I think that's, lock you up for being crazy type thing.
Yep. Oh, before we go, I said I was going to have to dig it up. I actually just scrolled down our comments a little bit, and just a few comments down, I have that video of when Ron Paul was confronted and he was asked about the, about why he's, why he supported Lamar Smith. And he said it was because of the Texas, incumbents all decided to support each other. So why don't we play that real quick? Maybe we'll come back with a comment or two, and then we'll close it out with our outro. How's that sound, guys?
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me, too.
All right, man. Guys, here's that Ron Paul video that we were talking about earlier, where he basically admitted that he sold out. Have a listen.
My name is Catherine Bleich, and I get my news from Free Keen. I actually get a lot of activist tips from there, and I take them home and utilize them in Missouri.
Hi, this is Terry Lupo. Welcome to Low Country Liberty Report. As you can see, no more hat. I believe I have hit my goal of 10 people going to Liberty Forum. I hope you are too. Now, I had a chance to meet this fella, John Bush, at Campaign for Liberty this weekend, and I really liked him. He was a stand-up fella. I'm going to be discussing his interview he got with Ron Paul. But First, let's start with Ron Paul, because I think Ron Paul is, he's kind of the gateway drug for liberty. He's an introduction a lot of people get, and kind of the first time they hear something different. And I love what he's been doing. But he's not perfect. He is a politician, and unfortunately, as the saying goes, you're never going to agree with a politician 100% unless you run yourself. So, you know, there are some things he's done I've definitely disagreed with. But I just because he's done so much good for liberty, he shouldn't necessarily get a free pass when he does something anti-liberty. And he needs to be called to the carpet. This talk show host, John Bush, did a little ambush reporting, basically, and got this clip here that you're going to see in a minute. So I'm going to let the interview explain itself.
I'm here with John Bush, radio show host. And John, could you give me an idea? You just got an interview with Ron Paul at the mm-hmm. C4L in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, on December 30th, Ron Paul sent me and some Ron Paul supporters in Austin, around the Austin area, an email asking us to support Lamar Smith. So this immediately rose a suspicion in my mind because Lamar Smith is not only a 22-year incumbent, but he also voted for the bailout not once, but twice. He voted for it the first time around with the Democrats. Not only that, but he supports, you know, the Patriot Act, the war in Iraq. He's a neocon. So it's interesting for Ron Paul to be asking for me to support this gentleman, especially when you couple it with the fact that there's a genuine Ron Paul Republican candidate that's running, Stephen Shoppe, in that same seat, Congressional District 21. And this guy, Stephen Shoppe, he busted his behind for Ron Paul during the campaign, so it's kind of like a backstab. But not only that, I mean, it's furthering the status quo entirely, and it's exactly everything that Ron Paul preaches against. So here at the Atlanta Campaign for Liberty Conference, he was shaking some hands, doing some autographs after he spoke, and I had the opportunity to ask him to give us a statement to kind of shine a little bit of light on why he asked us to support a 22-year incumbent, two-time bailout voter, and supporter of the war in Iraq and the Patriot Act. Hey, I just want a quick statement on why you're encouraging your supporters to support Lamar Smith, 22-year incumbent, two-time bailout voter, voted for the war in Iraq.
I have made an agreement that I would support the incumbents of Texas, Republican incumbents in Texas. I'm in the Republican Party. I am the most independent Republican in Congress, but there's a limit to how much independence you can get away with.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it.
Have a good one.
Okay. What was his answer?
Well, he said that he had made an agreement to support all the Republican incumbents in Texas. And while he's the most independent Republican in the GOP, there's only a certain amount of independence that you can have, which completely flies in the face of libertarian ideology altogether. There's no limit to independence. You're 100% free. But unfortunately, what I see about it is whenever the libertarian movement or the freedom movement tries to conflate itself with conservatism, unfortunately what we get is exactly that. Whenever it tries to go into the GOP in order to enact change, what we get is individuals having to make deals and having to waver on their principles in many instances. And unfortunately, while we may think we'll be able to shape the GOP, it's my opinion that the GOP will shape us more than we're able to shape them. And we see the same thing happening with Rand Paul already. Ron Paul's son is okay with the war in Afghanistan. He would have voted favorably for a war in Afghanistan and sent special forces in there too. Who knows what he's going to say about Yemen or a further invasion of Pakistan or Iran. It's just unfortunate. And that's one of the first things that goes once you start conflating yourself with the GOP. It's the anti-war and anti-imperial stance. You know, not only is it difficult to move forward if you're going to be constantly bashing that, you know, trying to make buddies, but a lot of people put that kind of rhetoric away when they're making a speech trying to move up in the GOP system, and eventually it just gets tucked away and goes away.
This story kind of already hit the internet pretty much right after it happened, and mm-hmm. it's already getting chatter. What mm-hmm. is the chatter you're hearing already?
Well, some of the people are, well, I call them apologists for Ron Paul. Unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of idol worship. I think the responsibility of the power lies within ourselves and within our local movements, local groups. But there's a lot of people that are saying, well, you know, this is just politically expedient. He's got to endorse Republicans or he'll lose one of his chairs in one of the finance committees. And I think that's a lot of hogwash. I think the political game in the end is really going to hurt us and hurt the power of the message. And then there's a lot of people that are downright upset and say, you know, this is a total farce. There was a lot of chatter down in Austin after he endorsed Lamar Smith, and we all got the email, and that's why I was clarifying it. There was also a lot of chatter last year when he endorsed Michael McCall, who's also a neocon. So it's unfortunate that he's going around endorsing some very lame candidates down in my neck of the woods. But the people, so far, it's almost been split. Some people are defending him because, you know, I believe in some people's eyes it's difficult to really think that, wow, Ron Paul is now selling us down the river, just like every other politician. Kind of hurts people's, hurts them deep inside. It's difficult to accept that. But a lot of people are finally, you know, they've seen, there's been a long train of abuses from the Ron Paul machine, the central machine, abusing local movements. And the RNC delegates, there was a betrayal there. And a lot of stuff just really went sour and nasty as far as support from the central campaign to the local grassroots and whatnot. I'm sure many activists are aware of what that happening. So here we go. We see it again happening, unfortunately. And it really seems like Ron Paul's radical edges are being softened. And again, it's my opinion that that's what happens whenever you go into the GOP and try to restore it. So it's unfortunate.
So I'd love to hear your opinion about this in the comments section. Also, you can find John and Catherine's show. The details are in the link on the Rule of Law Radio. As always, it's Terra Lupo. Good hunting.
This program is brought to you by FreeKeen.com. FreeKeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the...
All right, guys. There you heard it. Ron Paul wants you to vote for Lamar Smith because they made a deal with all the incumbents. How does that sound to you, huh?
You know, and that's what I've been saying the whole time. It's, you know, and I just... We've all been saying it, but... A politician's a politician. You got the echo on, Bri.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on one second.
Yep.
I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
Well, it should be off now. You still have it?
Yeah, I hear it slightly. Maybe it's just something else. I don't know. What I was saying, though, is he's just a politician, man. You know, the main thing about it is, you know, how many things has he wavered on, you know, and how many it's... I don't know. I just can't believe that these people thought they were going to be taken seriously, and if anything, you know, it just I don't know. I'm just beyond words that these people are awake supporting a Republican candidate for president. You know, if anything, at least support a libertarian or green or constitution. You know, not that I'm. I don't consider myself any of those, and I really think that why play their game even anymore? But, you know, I just can't understand awake people supporting a Republican for president. That's a Democrat. You know, it's just that's foreign to me as someone that's been awake for a few years.
Oh, it's crazy. It's actually crazy. It's crazy to me that people would actually, I don't know, man. I don't know how people do it after they hear something like that, how they could still support him.
You know, and here's the thing too is all the money that they got donated to it. You know, I heard his campaign manager, Jesse Benton, there got a nice new house out of it. I wouldn't.
All right,
you know,
everybody.
I don't know the exacts on it, but it's just it's just hypocritical. And the same people that are touting this message are calling themselves anarchists, but yet they're trying to fix the system from inside. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
Give people some time.
I just think, it's quite obvious to me that this guy is a puppet. It's almost like he was put there and propped up so much so that if there were, like, real libertarians or whatever,
right,
he wouldn't really have a chance to step up because this guy's
right.
got a cornerstone.
That's what he did this year was he blocked it so that there's no way a grassroots person could step up, you know, and actually go and try to run because... You never know. What if what if we did go down to the polls and make sure that shit was correct? You know, not saying that, but think about it. With all the people on the Ron Paul campaign, all the people that are awakened were turned off by the Ron Paul campaign. If we really had someone that was for 9/11 truth, was for, you know, not for austerity measures, not for more debt banking, whether it's backed by gold or, you know what I mean? If we had a real guy to back, even though most likely we'd still get fucked, I would take the time out and just try. But I don't know. I'm not gonna go to the Republican Party with a guy that I can't, you know, trust either way. Yeah.
But all right, guys. You know, I think we pretty much did. I think it was a pretty good show tonight, Justin. What do you think?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, pretty good show. Chris, you had a good time tonight, right? You were on with us for probably over 3 hours.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Let me come on here.
I was real happy when I seen your name pop up on the Skype. I knew you said you were gonna listen in. I didn't know you were gonna call. Anytime, dude. Anytime you want to call in, we'll get you right on, because I love having other full people on here. And you've had me on your show, and it's always been a pleasure. And you guys get it, you know what I mean? We get it over here, and it's always a good conversation. Not everybody always has to agree, but I mean, you got a bunch of open-minded people that are pretty smart, just kind of hashing things out. It's never a bad thing, I'll tell you that. Everybody that's listening, I want to apologize for us moving our nights around so much, but I've kind of had a fluctuating work schedule, but you can usually catch us on either Tuesday or Wednesday nights. I'll always post it on the site and in our Facebook group and everything. I'll put the group link up in the chat in a second once I get around to it. For those of you that aren't in it, I think most of you are. You can always find out when we're on. We're usually on at 10 o'clock. I think sometimes we're going to try and do 9 o'clock now. It seems a little better for some of you, so some people don't drop off so early. And, Chris, you said you're on at 9 p.m. Eastern?
9 p.m. Eastern on Monday.
Yeah, why don't you throw me that link one more time just so I can give it to everybody again. I already threw it up a few times. Chris is on TalkShoe, guys. He's on 9 p.m. Eastern on Monday. And here is his link right here. I'm grabbing it right now. Hang on 1 second. I'll throw it in the chat for everybody. This is Chris's link right here, guys. Click on that and bookmark it. That's Chris's show. He's the guest you heard tonight. He's always got some great stuff. He's on Monday nights at 9. We're on either Tuesday or Wednesdays at 9 or 10. Just check in with this website right here, therealnewsonline.com. Or go to the Real News Online group on Facebook. We always post it there. Or, you know, there's a million places. My Facebook profile. Most of you guys know who I am, so it's easy enough to find us. But you can always catch the showtime here or on the Facebook page. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I want to thank Chris Kendall for calling in. I want to thank Tiffany for calling in earlier. My co-host, Justin Cook. And I want to thank everybody in the chat and everybody that was here earlier and everybody that's just given us the time of day to listen. We know you guys are all busy, busy schedules. There's plenty of shows to listen to, plenty of bullshit out there. I'm just glad you chose to listen to us. You guys got anything else? Or are you guys good?
Pretty good. Just want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for listening, yeah. And stop by the group if you can. Stop by the forum as well. We still got to get that up and popping. But there's some stuff up there. But yeah, that's it for me. Hit me up. You know where I'm at.
I appreciate it, guys. Really appreciate
it. Great having you on, Chris.
All right, yeah. Thank you, Chris. I'll be sure to tune in Monday, and I'll make sure I get your link out before then and get some people over there for you. Thanks
okay,
a lot,
sounds
guys.
Good.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Chris, you got all the links I sent you for the show for Nick that you wanted?
Yeah, I sure do.
All right, awesome. All right, guys, thanks a lot. You've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, my co-host, Justin Cook, our guest, Chris Kendall, and guys, we are out of here. Have a good night.